Right, it's time now for our scripture reading. It's taken from Psalm 121. If you have your Bibles with you or your Bible app, please turn with me to Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This morning, we're very happy to have Reverend John, who will be bringing us the message, the sermon entitled, Where Does My Help Come From? Reverend John, please.
Before I begin the sermon proper, today we are going to observe the Holy Communion. If you are baptized and if you do not have the elements in your hands, please raise your hand and the usher will pass it to you. Great. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are worthy of our worship. And Lord, indeed, we can do so. It's a privilege and honor. And in our, you have reconciled us back to yourself, and this new life that you've given to us, we walk by faith, not by sight. We journey, even though not knowing what's ahead of us, but one sure thing we know, that you are with us. You are for us, you are not against us. So Lord, minister to us from this passage, and Lord, may you encourage us to continue walking faithfully and in trusting you that God, you will see us to the end. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Good morning, and in the month of May, CNA reported that the impact of mental distress on the population is the highest in the region. This is according to a first-of-its-kind medical study done by NUS and the University of Washington. Mental health is among the top five disease burdens in Singapore. Over 650,000 cases were diagnosed with such disorders in 2021, affecting close to 13% of males and just below 12% of females. But it is not just the youth that are suffering. Cases also increased threefold among seniors. Self-harm is commonly seen in young adults aged 20 to 24. The journey of life is never smooth sailing. We all know that because we have encountered problems for sure. We don't travel in calm waters all the time. We will meet storms. We will experience trials. Humanity is sinful and the world is ravaged by sin. Creation is groaning. looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus. The fallen condition will manifest, and we are just reminded of this every day. If you were to, you know, just read the news or watch TV, you know, on the news, different social media platforms, you know, Yahoo News and so on. We can't escape it. There is nowhere to hide our troubles either. You will find us either it originates within us because of the things that we do that is sinful, the choices that we made that are foolish, we will bear the consequences of it, or it comes to us from the outside. Something people do to us, for example. We will run into trouble whether we like it or not. We will encounter problems that cause us to experience distress, sorrow, discouragement, disappointment, depression, pain, fear, anxiety, frustration, hopelessness, stress, or anger. What are some of the problems in life that confronts us? Ill health or deteriorating health condition, physical infirmities, parenting difficulties, marital unfaithfulness, loss of a loved one, estranged relationships, unreasonable demands, unfair treatment, bullying, false accusations, scam, unmet longings or expectations, addictions, financial burdens, just to name a few. What do we do in times of trouble? What could anchor and steady us when we are weighed down, wounded, exhausted, on the verge of giving up because we are so drained out? The psalmist begins the psalm with a question. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I think it's a very important question, enduring question to ask. For we know there are times where we need help, we call out for help. But where, from where does our help come from? You know, we cry out for help, you know, when we reach those moments where, you know, at the limits of our emotional and mental threshold, where we have exhausted all our resources, you know, at a complete loss of what to do next. We want help. We cry out for help. The more anxious we are, the more desperate our cry. When HDB notified me of the date to collect the keys to my current flat back in 2015, I had to commence selling my flat then, the one that I was living in. Right? I can't own two HDB flats. Now, if I fail to do so by that date, I will end up paying mortgage, right, for both units. They will still give me some time extension to sell my flat, but I will be paying mortgage for both the old and the new one. which will really put a strain on my finances. There was really absolutely nothing, you know, Rachel and I can do to avoid this, except, you know, to ask God for help, to send a buyer in good time, you know, before the collection of the keys. There were a few viewings, right? But none made an offer. They just came, look at the house, okay, then they leave, right? None of them made an offer, and time was running down. Rachel and I continued to look to the Lord in prayer and trusted God. You know, He knows our situation. You know, the desperation, right? And in good time, God sent a buyer. And the buyer wants the house because he goes to Malaysia, travels into Malaysia very often, and that location is wonderful. Just one station down to Kranji MRT station, hop on the bus and to the Singapore Customs. I tried once, 45 minutes it took me on a weekday, stepping out of my house and stepping into City Square Mall. 45 minutes. Shorter than the time I travel from east to west. So when we cry for help, where does it come from? It's a critical question. The psalmist gives us the answer in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm sure some of you have heard this expression or this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you have heard this? Raise your hand. Quite a few. Okay. This is quite a common phrase, actually. There are some people, Christians included, who think that this is a verse in the Bible, which is terribly unfortunate. God doesn't help those who help themselves. In fact, the Bible teaches the exact opposite. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 highlights that God's strength shows itself most effectively in our weakness, suggesting that God often works most powerfully through those who recognize their own limitations. Indeed, God is our mighty helper. He helps us when we cannot help ourselves. The psalmist puts it so assuredly in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And in the New Testament, we are urged to turn to God that we might receive His mercy and grace when we need help. Let us approach with confidence, the author tells us, the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help when we need it. There was an occasion where I wanted to have my army reservist training deferred so that I could go for an overseas training organized by my company. That was some 30, 40 years ago. I went to seek from help from the Member of Parliament, right, representing my constituency, who was in a position and had the power to put up my request for deferment, right? My MP was The best helper in this case, not my employer, not my wife, not my mother. They certainly don't have the ability, nor are they in a position to help me. As people belonging to God, He is our best helper on every occasion, on all occasions. For He is the creator of the universe. You are not asking a small fry for help, you know, a 小人物 for help. Someone who has limited resources for help. We are asking the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God for help. And He tells us that He is our mighty helper. There is no better helper than our Lord who is mighty to save. We sing that in our worship. God who knows exactly the good that we need and who is ever present with us. Therefore, let us put our confidence in Him. We have every reason to do that, to put confidence, to have our confidence in Him. The psalmist lifted up his eyes and saw the hills, big physical structures. They are immovable, but not to the Lord, who made heaven and earth. There is no mountain too tall, too huge, that God cannot move. We need to lift up our eyes whenever our spirit is downcast. We sang just now. We lift up our eyes to Jesus. We need to lift up our eyes to look not at the big obstacle, how big the trouble is before us, but to God, our helper, who is far, far greater than the problem before us. God, besides being our mighty helper, He is also our attentive watchman. Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I remember one military exercise on the island of Pulau Brani, the former Singapore naval base where I served my national service as a regimental policeman, RP. Several RPs were stationed along the coast during this exercise to defend the coast, the island, from the commandos, right, that will come and infiltrate the island, into the island, right? Several buildings were marked as being destroyed by the commandos in their attack, right? They came, they managed to enter the island and then, you know, they take a spray can, you know, put across, you know, to indicate that, you know, they destroyed this building. During the debrief after the exercise, it was highlighted to the commanding officer of the camp that the commandos had a free pass into the island because the RPs keeping watch along the coast, that section, were all sleeping when they came on shore. Right, they are supposed to stay awake, lah. Right, even though, you know, the wee hours of the morning, you know, but they were all sleeping. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't take His eyes off us. He will not be caught off guard. He is not like the pagan gods. Right? We read in 1 Kings about the prophets of Baal trying to reach their God. Right? When Baal did not respond, Elijah, the prophet of God, teased them. Shout louder. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. God, our attentive watchman, doesn't need sleep or rest. He never dozes off. He never gets distracted. His eyes is fixed on his children all the time. God is attentive to our situation. Because he's attentive, we can sleep at night. Despite the problems that we have. We can entrust everything to God through prayer, knowing who he is, and then go to sleep at night knowing that he hears our cries and he knows our situation. He doesn't turn a blind eye. He's not deaf to our cries. He's perfectly aware of all that happens and will happen. He is the sovereign one in control of all things. Regardless of the circumstances, God will enable us to stand and not be overwhelmed to the point where we cannot turn back. No setback can take us out completely. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 37, verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Apart from God being our mighty helper and attentive watchman, the psalmist adds that God is our faithful keeper. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What great assurance this is. I guess the psalmist had the Exodus event in mind where he wrote these few verses. Exodus 13, verse 21, it says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God will not leave nor abandon us. That is his promise. He shields us and leads us, protects us faithfully from morning to night, day in, day out. He is there 24/7, 365. The Bible tells us that our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. The devil is real. There are demons, and we are their targets. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. We are up against the unseen power that controls this sin-cursed world and the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realm. Ephesians 6, verse 12 makes it very clear to us. Although the devil is the ruler of this world, he has been defeated by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through his death and resurrection. Jesus declared this in John chapter 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. The Lord Jesus is one who stands above the evil one. The power of evil over our lives has been broken by God. We who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are kept safe, and no one can snatch us out of the hand of our Lord Jesus. Now, having said all this, it doesn't imply that nothing bad will happen to us who follow Jesus. I have this picture at home for many years. I bought it a long time ago, and I bought it because of the message that is on it, right? And that was what captured me. It's not the design of the thing, right? So let me read it to you. The Lord may not have planned that this should overtake me. A trying situation, right? But he has most certainly permitted it. Therefore, though it were an attack of an enemy, by the time it reaches me, it has the Lord's permission. And therefore, all is well. He will make it work together with all life's experiences for good. And I want to add, for his good. God is our faithful keeper. He will protect us from all evil. No evil befalls us unless the Lord permits it. And we know that. In the book of, to test whether you are sleeping or not. In the book of Job, isn't it? You want to touch my servant? He tells the devil. Right? I am the one, the Lord says, whether you can do it or not. Even when the calamity falls upon us, remember, God is present to embrace us with his all-sufficient grace. God promised that he will never leave nor forsake us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us, right? He can anchor us and steady us when we are in the storm, because he is what? What's the first thing? Based on this Psalm 121. Who knows the answer? What's the first thing? God is able and can anchor and steady us when we face the storms of life, because he is a mighty helper, attentive watchman, and faithful keeper. Actually, it's a good practice. I won't want to make it mandatory. Have a pen and paper when you listen to the sermon and write down, at least it will keep you awake. I do that, right? Yeah. So it's helpful, right? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever trying situation you are in right now, I urge you to do these two things, or three things, actually. First, you don't have to listen to my sermon again, but if you want to, it's fine. But I encourage you to read through slowly Hebrews chapter 11. Right? You can do that during the week, during your quiet time. Read through Hebrews chapter 11 in a quiet setting and listen to what God says to you. Right? I firmly believe that God is one who speaks. He's, even though we can't see him with our naked eye, we can't touch him, he's here. He's with us. It's just that there is often we are, it's so noisy around us. It's so noisy in our heads, you know, that it drowns out his voice. So find a quiet setting. You can go up to my where I'm staying, rooftop, you know, 47 story is a rooftop garden. It's a wonderful view. You can, if you need a toilet break, come down to my house. I stay on the 44th floor, right? You want a quiet place, you can go there. Just slowly read through Hebrews 11, meditate on it, right? And listen to what God says to you, right? Second, respond in prayer. Say an earnest prayer of submission and trust in God and commit your cares to Him. Right? And the third thing, find a mature believer and share your burden and let him or her pray for you. Okay? Right? Those who are in cell, you know, yeah, you can share with your cell members or one or two of your cell members. Right? A good friend, a good Christian, mature believer, you can do that as well. I will end with the Holy Communion. This psalm is one of the songs of ascents, which is a collection of psalms, right? From Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. So 121 falls under this category, right? And it's likely sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. This song is sung in a joyous spirit, right? The psalmist who wrote it wasn't trying to console himself, you know, find words to, you know, pat himself, you know, or to drum up courage, you know, or, you know, to psych himself up. No, on the contrary, he is declaring with confidence and steadfast trust in God, the Creator, because he knows and believes that he is a mighty helper, an attentive watchman, and a faithful keeper. How do we have this assurance in God, given that we cannot see or touch Him? We know we are called into a relationship with God. We have been reconciled back to God. We are in a relationship. But, you know, in a relationship where we cannot see the other party, or touch the other party. How do we have this assurance then? Is God real? Does He really exist? If we have a tinge of doubt, then all that I said, all that is mentioned in the Bible is rubbish. It's just some self-help book. A crutch for the weak, as some non-believers like to label. God is real. He exists, certainly. because Jesus Christ is real and Jesus exists. He lived, died, and rose again and has ascended into heaven. He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And he goes on to say, a few chapters down in John chapter 20, blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe. I invite you to take this time as we observe the communion to talk to God where you are seated. He's here. He wants to engage us. He invites us to draw near to him. Praise him for his care and love for you. Ask him to forgive you for your lack of trust and doubts. And ask him to strengthen your faith in him.